Okay, everyone, so let's get started. And it's going to be the usual way of doing things. We're going to talk a little bit about some ideas of meditation practice, and then we're going to get into it afterwards. And on Friday night, that's yesterday, I was talking about the idea of freedom in Buddhism and what it means, how you experience it, and what it feels like, and all of these kind of things. And this is something that we can usefully contemplate also for our ordinary meditation experiences. Sometimes it can be very interesting just to contemplate some of the kind of goals of the path, what the path is like, where it is heading. It can be very inspiring. And one of the reasons that one of the things it does, it gives rise to an idea of right view of what really is meaningful in life. When you have some idea of the liberations of mind, the citta vimuttis, talked about in the suttas, and what they actually mean, what their experiences are like, even though you may not have gone all the way yourself, it gives rise to a sense of elation, a sense of uplift, a sense of feeling that you're heading towards something really meaningful and purposeful. And this is already very useful, that liberation or freedom of the mind that you have as you practice is a very pleasant, very beautiful state of mind, and you get an idea what it is simply by contemplating what freedom means in ordinary life, like being out of jail, not being oppressed by something, the mind feeling easy, not being oppressed by the usual defilements and thoughts and all of these kind of things. Of course, it's not about craving for those states, but it's just to be inspired, to feel that you're heading towards something useful, to give you the motivation to practice meditation. Even though the results may come down the line, sometime in the future, it's something really worthwhile to aspire for. But also what is one of the useful things to do is always to contemplate your meditation at the end of every single meditation you do. Just to get some idea of how the meditation works. What are the mechanics? What are the perception that you give rise to? What are the intentions that you should use in your meditation practice? By contemplating your meditation, by seeing also some of the results of the meditation, understanding the pleasure of meditation, why it is superior to ordinary life and all of these kind of things, you start to, next time you sit down, your mind much more easily inclines in that particular direction. So if you look at your meditation practice and you look back at what is happening, you look at how the mind actually is being freed through the meditation, the more you understand that and the more you use different ideas to understand the benefit of meditation, the more your mind will incline in that direction. And freedom is a very useful kind of metaphor or word to use in this context, because it is very attractive, the idea of being free here. No one wants to be a slave. No one wants to be in prison. No one wants to be bound up. You want to be free here. And that mental freedom is, of course, the ultimate and the highest freedom on the path. So how does it manifest? Well, you have obviously some ideas already how it manifests. You are being liberated from the oppressors of the world. One of the oppressors is the thinking mind. If you have some experience of meditation, you will know what it feels like to have a still mind when there's little thinking going on. And so make sure you look at that and you understand it. Because if you look at that and you understand that actually it is a state of freedom to be without that thinking mind, your mind will incline towards that again in the future. You will also notice that when your mind becomes peaceful, there's very little interest in the sensory world. The sensory world is so easy to get trapped in because it seems so attractive in so many ways. So you need to contemplate again and again the peace, the calm, the stillness that arises from not having much interest in that five-sense world. Then your mind, again, will incline towards meditation. It will leave aside those lesser happinesses of the ordinary world, and you move forward in this way. Getting rid of the body is part of this. The body is an endless kind of problem area, always giving rise to pain, always giving rise to problems. This is the nature of the body. It says in the suttas that the body is an abyss of painful feelings. There's no end to the number of painful feelings you can have. So for that reason, the feeling of freedom that arises, yeah, in the mind when you are liberated from all of these kind of oppressive states, please contemplate that, because it becomes a powerful source for your meditation. Every time you meditate, you can remind yourself of these freedoms, because that reminder will, at the beginning of the meditation, set your mind out on the right kind of course, heading in the right direction, because you will see something attractive, something that draws you towards the good states of meditation practice. Easier to give up the world, easier to give up the negative things, when you are reminded of the good things in this way. Okay, that's just a brief introduction for you. Now let's try and see if we can do some meditation together. Okay, everyone, so just as always, just start out with the same kind of simple procedures, just making sure that you are at ease in the body, no pains, a comfortable posture. It is good to always check that posture and maybe make changes, because sometimes we make mistakes over long periods of time. And it's always good to do things in a new way if you made a mistake for long periods. So just check out the body, if the body is right, the posture is comfortable, and then kind of gradually allow the mind also to fall into that sense of ease, where you are relaxed, you're comfortable, where the body is no longer a problem. And as you start to settle down in your meditation, it can then be useful just to remind yourself of some of those qualities that you are aspiring towards, that sense of freedom from all the oppressions of the world, also all the oppressions within oneself. And once you remind yourself of some of those things, especially focus on your own experience in the past, you can incline the mind in that way, and you can give up all those things that actually are pointless, all those things that don't really get you anywhere in meditation, because you know there's something more powerful and beautiful behind all that. So please use this idea of freedom to guide the mind in the right direction. It allows you to let go of all the things that are limiting you and imprisoning you, and gradually allowing the mind to emerge into clarity. And when the clarity is there, just allow it naturally to move on to whatever meditation object you want to use, whether it is the breath or whatever else. Make it as natural as possible, seamlessly moving from one to the next one. No need to grasp the object or do anything. Just allow the thing to unfold by itself. Okay, so now just spend a few moments just to review the meditation towards the end, just to have some idea how this process actually works. Okay, so any questions or comments, please? Yes, please, at the back there. Thanks, Conrad.
Your voice is very nice.
Uh-huh.
Where are you from? It is. Where are you from?
Oh, where I'm from? I'm Australian.
Oh.
It's true, actually. Yeah, I've got an Australian passport now. I wasn't born in Australia, but now I'm an Australian. Yeah.
Where were you from originally?
Originally, I'm from... that's a very hard question to answer, you know? This is Buddhism. Buddhism is very tricky in this kind of area. I think... I'm just another... I'll be square with you. I was born in Norway. That's where my accent is from. Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Thank
just
you.
For your information. Yeah.
And also like the smell of the clothes in the area.
Uh huh.
Clothes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. That's usually we ask meditation questions at this time, you know. But anyway, you're gonna get away with it. Okay.
Thank you, Venerable.
Yeah.
Today I actually came with a question in my mind because it happened this morning. And so, talking about when we review the meditation, I realized that when I do metta meditation, in the beginning of my meditation, I don't want to keep going because I want to have the joy of the feeling of the metta meditation and the happiness. And then I feel that my body and my mind, they are like, okay, that's enough. We can stay with this feeling. And so then when you started to talk today about freedom, I was kind of... Is this attachment? Is my body and my mind getting attached to the feeling of the metta meditation and then they want to keep with that feeling and then
quite likely. I mean, there's always going to be some attachment there. So one of the things about the Buddhist path is that you are you're going up the ladder to better kind of attachments. There are bad attachments that are going to keep you trapped in the world and there are higher attachments that actually lead out of samsara. There's always going to be some attachments there because that's kind of the nature of the human mind. So don't be too concerned about that. What matters is that you attach to something that is useful and helpful for meditation and for the spiritual practice.
Because if I do my first 5 minutes of meditation, I want to stop.
Yeah, you just keep. That's why it's so useful to remind yourself of the results of meditation from the past, because that will help you over that initial part, which often is difficult. Yeah, because we come with a mind which has a lot of momentum, a body which is quite tranquil. That's when you need to remember exactly the past experiences when you have been peaceful. I mean, it's worthwhile going, and that kind of helps you to get over that hump. All right, so let's have a look at a couple of questions from outside of the center here. First one is from Germany. I am compassionate but oversensitive. How do you protect yourself and stay calm without losing your sensitivity when you see and feel suffering? How do you stay strong but sensitive? I think one of the important things here is that to make this distinction between empathy and compassion. Empathy is like where you kind of feel the feelings of others. You tune into other people's feelings. And if you do that too much, it can be very draining, because it means that you feel everything, whatever everyone else feels. That, you know, that's going to be painful after a while. So you want to move towards compassion. Compassion is looking for solutions. Compassion is wanting to help someone. And when you look for solutions, instead of being draining, it becomes something beautiful, because you're actually wishing them well. You're wishing them some kind of positive result, and you want to help with that. So that's kind of where what compassion is about. So instead of just feeling, wish the person well, may you be free from suffering. If I can help you, I will help you out to kind of overcome these kind of things. So try that and see what happens. From Tyler in Arizona, if my mind is just constantly thinking, would it still be a productive meditation? How can I calm the thoughts? So the idea here is to first of all understand why you are thinking. What is the thinking about? Normally what you will find is that the thinking is about worldly stuff. Your job, your family, your hobbies, your problems you had recently, people you hadn't difficulties with or whatever. And so what you want to do is you want to realize that all of that stuff in the world is kind of an endless thing that goes on and on and on. There is no escape by keeping thinking about it. And once you understand that doesn't get you anywhere to think about those things, what gets you somewhere is to become peaceful, because that is how you create a good future. You create a good future by becoming peaceful now, having good qualities now, having the right intentions now, not by trying to figure out the world, trying to solve the world, because there is no solution in that world. So you let it go after a while, because you realize it is pointless. This is one of the methods of overcoming thinking. The other one, which is even more powerful, is to really enjoy the meditation practice. Once you start to feel a sense of peace, joy in meditation, the thinking becomes far less prominent, because you have something preferable to all that thinking mind. This is far better, to be joyful and happy and feeling glad inside, rather than having this constant thinking about things. Once you get that, the thinking mind will really start to calm down. And to get that joy in meditation, well, you have to make sure that you practice the entire Noble Eightfold Path. That's when it really starts out to work properly. Okay, last question for today. Oh no, there's two more questions, okay. I wonder, has Ajahn Brahmali read of Lama Zopa, who just died, but as a baby boy, fully knew he was in a previous life and used to try to crawl to his previous meditation cave, thoughts and prayers? I have heard about Lama Zopa. I don't know much about him. All these stories about what people did when they were a baby, I would take it all with a pinch of salt. I know how unreliable such stories are. I don't really know much about him, but he has a good reputation. Probably was a very good monk, and that's good enough for me. Okay, last question here from Indonesia. How do you find end to loneliness, and how does meditation help in this? So, loneliness means that you feel separated from the world. You feel disconnected from the world around you. And that's a very painful feeling. And a lot of loneliness in the world today, and it's kind of one of the scourges of mental health, I think, in the present day. And the best way to overcome that is to treat other people with kindness. If you treat other people well, you start to feel connection, not because what they are doing, because of what you are doing. You are connecting out by being kind, by speaking kindly to people, by acting to other people's benefit, by being generous, all these kind of things. And then you also turn your mind into also an instrument of kindness, whereby you give people the benefit of doubt. You have compassion for them. You wish them well mentally. And as you develop metta and compassion in this way, you will start to feel connected to the whole world. In fact, if you really develop metta and compassion fully, you feel more connected when you are in solitude than when you are around people. Because when you are in solitude, that metta is more pure than when you are around people usually. It may not make that much difference, but that's kind of the idea of developing meditation profoundly in solitude. So that is the kind of the idea, and remember, it takes time. There are no magic bullets on the Buddhist path. There's just a gradual emerging from these mental problems that we have. But gradually, you will get out of this. Find a nice Buddhist community. You have found one nice one online already. Maybe you can find one around you as well. That might be useful. Then see how things go. Okay, thanks everyone. That is all for today. Let's pay homage to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.